In continuing on this subject on divine peace and godly peace, one of the things that I was sharing a few lessons ago is that Jesus, when we look at, and you can turn over to Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, we're talking about redemption. Jesus was made sin for us that what? We might be made the righteousness of God, what? In Christ Jesus. So we've been redeemed. It wasn't a half-baked redemption. It was a full redemption. We're redeemed spirit, soul, and body. We've been purchased by his blood. And so this redemption not only just redeemed us, you know, from hurt, harm, and redeemed us from hell, but it also redeemed our emotions. And that was one of the things that I spent some time, and we want to look at that again, just touching on that, that we've been, our emotions have been redeemed. What does that mean? That means that anything that causes you to be in a state of despair or a state of depression or a state of anxiety, you've been redeemed from that. What does that mean? Anything that causes you to be in that state, he took it. And it does not have the power to control you anymore. Doesn't mean it doesn't come. I think sometimes we miss that. It's scripture that Jesus was tempted in all ways like we were, except he didn't sin. And so it doesn't mean that feelings of depression doesn't come. It doesn't mean that feelings of anxiety and despair and, you know, all of the words that we can insert in here, it doesn't mean that they don't come, but what it means is that I know and I take my place in Christ and I say, oh, no, no, I've been redeemed from that. And I begin to do what? Speak the word of God. And I say, no, you can't come here. I've been redeemed from this. I've been redeemed from those things that cause people, you know, hearing stories of people that have taken medicine, and I'm not against medicine at all. If you need it, then get it and take it. If you need medicine to control anxiety, then take it until this word gets down inside your heart. And so you rise up and say, no, I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. But I wanted to share something this morning that kind of encapsulates this. This is a prophecy that was given in 1963. How many believe that God knows the end from the beginning? Amen. Yeah. He knows exactly the state that this country is going to run in, right? But this was a prophecy given in 1963, given by the Lord Jesus to Brother Hagin when he was alive. And you can look these up. This isn't anything private. You can go out and Google it. And this is an abbreviated transcription. The audio is available. You can listen to it and read it for yourself. It's public. But this answers questions about society. It answers questions about the state of society that we're in, and it answers some questions about why people are not in peace, why people are, you know, as I call it, out of sorts, right? Because they don't know who they are in Christ. But listen to this here. It says, yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I went, as it were, up into the air and stood with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see a map laid out before me, the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, "Behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see. And they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spake unto me and said, Son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. Who is speaking this? Jesus. He knows, and he was revealing to him. He said, and this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had spilled and spread out over several states in the south and east. And then I looked, and I could see spots splotched all over the map, and I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic-inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they walk without the love of God, and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And then I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And he said, Son of man, forget not your texts, for you look at things not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mountain a ball of fire from heaven. Oh, yes. The closer to earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire, and there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now, and you shall see and you shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Hallelujah to Jesus, hallelujah to Jesus. For the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. For even in the days of old, the prophet would see by vision and prophecy. And so the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. And this is the time, and this is the hour, and this is the place. Praise God, hallelujah. The reason I shared that, because it is not a time of giving up and doom. Jesus said to him, that there's going to be fire fall upon us. And before this time of the end, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And we're going to be carriers of peace. What does the scripture say? We're shod, our feet are shod with the what? The preparation of what? The gospel of peace. And so God is anointing all of us in various avenues and places that we go to not be in despair, but to bring peace and hope to those who are. That can't see a way out. That can't see anything positive for living. You know, I was reading statistics a few Sunday ago about just suicide. And this was a statistic from 2017. They said there were over 47,000 suicides in the United States in 1 year. More than twice the number of homicides. That's despair. And we need to be the ones carrying hope. We need to be the ones carrying hope. So when I hear when I hear Amanda and Taylor and Anaya and I hear Donovan share, God has impacted them what? Not just to feel good, but for a purpose. So they can go and touch the lives of those individuals that they come in contact with. Young people that are in despair. Young people that have no hope. Young people that are on the brink of committing suicide. They can bring hope and lay hands upon them. And that's what gives me hope. It's the gospel of hope. And we need not despair. Yes, Jesus said it is going to get worse. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. But we're not the ones deceived. We're the ones with the hope. Right? We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get over to Isaiah 53? And this is the King James. It said, he is what? Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So when we talk about being healed, you know, here the redemption covered our physical body, but it also covered our soulical area, our mind, and our emotions. So you can't come to me or anybody and say, well, hey, deal with it. That's just the way I am. You know, I hear some people say, that's just the way it is. That's just the way I am. You know, I say it like it is. Really? Then if you can't control, look up the word unstable and just run some references in the Bible, the one that you pick up. Go to James chapter 1. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He said, but when you ask, ask in faith, what? Nothing wavering. And then further down it says, a man that wavers is what? Unstable in all his ways. Unstable means you're not in control. So if you're not controlling your emotions, you're unstable. We don't like to think of it that way. But if you can't control your emotions, you're unstable. That's hard. You know, sometimes we have to do some self and say, you know what? I'm not controlling myself in this area. I'm letting my emotions control me. You know, we say, oh, I'm good. Okay, let's get out on Route 80 or Route 17 and have somebody, or New York City, and see how well you do. I'm getting better. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better. I'm just telling you that we all need to grow in this grace of peace. And our emotions have been redeemed, which means when we feel these things rise up, when we feel anger or we feel something rise up, we can go, oh, no. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. You know, some people, when you don't respond to them, some of you on your J-O-B, you know what I'm talking about. When you don't respond a certain way, it upsets the other party because you don't respond, and it makes them what? More upset because you're not responding in kind. Right? So, you know, we've all been there. When you don't respond, they go, they'll have a few words to say to you to try to incite you to be excited like they are, right? So when this scripture says the chastisement of what? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. This word chastisement means the rebuke of our peace. So anything that restrains or rebukes our peace, he took that. He took the cause of it. So he redeemed my emotions, and by what? His grace, I can control my emotions. How do we access this grace? We access grace by what? By faith. So I'm going to have to, by faith, access this grace that is afforded to us. And, you know, we covered some other scriptures. You know, we're not going to cover them up. You can turn over to Luke 21. But we looked at Jesus going, when he said, let us go to the other side, Mark 4, 35 through 41. He said, let's go to the other side. And I was hearing, it was interesting, Pastor Hagin was sharing on this. He was talking about trials and tribulations, about let's go to the other side, you know, issues in life. And he said that was an issue they faced. And Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And you would think that his disciples would have said, well, look, if he's going to sleep, I'm going to sleep. But we're going to not worry about this, right? But they were, what does it said? Jesus spoke to the storm. He said, why are you so fearful and have what? No faith. We don't want to be in that position. So we can go to the other side, as it were, a problem, if we do what? Exercise faith. But look at Luke 21, and what is Jesus, let's take a look here. Let me get over there. And he said, in verse 34, and it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your what? Your hearts be overcharged with what? See, we don't talk like this anymore. That doesn't mean at Malibu, where we're surfing. It just says surfeiting. That's on the border of being, it's giddy, or it's not drunk, but it's just being giddy. Surfeiting, drunkenness, and what? Cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. What day? The day that he's talking about the return of Christ. So here, this answers some questions here. When this says here, these three things, it says take heed. So that means we need to do something. He's saying, take heed, keep an eye out on this, watch this. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be what? Overcharged. That word overcharged, it doesn't mean your Amex card or your card has been overcharged. It means weighed down. So if your hearts are weighed down, this is what this is talking about. It says here, it's weighed down with what? Surfeiting. That word just means giddy. Drunkenness, we know what that means. And the cares of this life can weigh your heart down so that when our hearts are weighed down, just think about something. When your hearts are weighed down, are you in faith? You're in worry. You're concerned. You're troubled. You're an anxious thought. You like Jesus said, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall wear or what you shall, you know, all the things in life. That word is, I mean, it doesn't mean we can't think about it. It just means don't take anxious thought. Don't be totally consumed with that. Don't let that weigh your heart down. You see. And so when this is saying your hearts are weighed down with something, here's another scripture. Let me read it to you, or you can turn there. Keep your finger in Luke 21. 1 John 4:15 through 19, it said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. In other words, we believe the love he has for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our what? Our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Was he full of care and worry? Oh, I see. So it says, so as he is, so are we in this world. And what it says, there is what? No fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because what? Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So when we are, when our hearts, and we go back to Luke 21, but when our hearts are weighed down, that means if I'm in worry and concern, I'm in fear. And fear has what? Torment. That means you can't be in faith. You may think you are, but you can't be. And so this answers the question here that when we're not operating in faith and we're concerned, our spiritual antenna or our spiritual sensitivity to God is affected. It's affected. And people make bad choices and wrong choices because they're in worry and concern and care, and they're not hearing him clearly. And so this is why when we are in this season that we're in, these seasons where society is, we need to be close to God. We need to have our own time with God and experiences with him so that our sensitivity to him is clear. So that when these outside pressures come, they don't push me in a direction that's full of fear. It's what? Full of peace. I mean, you can go over to Proverbs 3 when it talks about wisdom, and further down it says all of its paths are peace. And so doesn't mean that these pressures and things of life, we can't stop them from coming, but we don't have to allow them to stay. We've been given dominion and authority. We've been made what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So that means if I have his righteousness, I have his peace, I have his joy, and I don't have depression and concern. As they say, I'm not a bundle of nerves, wondering how things are going to take place in life. I'm at peace in my heart. These things can be pressing on our mind, all of these thoughts. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It may even be somebody in your house. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know, but we're going to seek God and find out. That's what we're going to do. You know, I told you that story last week when Brother Hagin was alive. He said he and his wife came to the front door and she turned around. This is what was written. And she said, you know, I believe you wouldn't even be concerned if we just dropped dead right here on the porch. And the response was, no, I wouldn't, because you'd be in heaven. Why would I be concerned? I'm not going to take concern. Now, he said that didn't go over too well because she hadn't gotten a revelation yet. But as she did in life, then she understood, not going to be concerned and full of care. Doesn't mean we don't miss somebody, but I'm not going to be weighed down and anxious over something. You see. So let's turn. I want to look at another, and we looked at the scripture in Luke about Martha and Mary. But turn over to Galatians 5. Let's take a look at this here. Galatians chapter 5, we touched on this, but we didn't really explore this. Galatians 5, verse 22 and through 25. And I'm going to read from the King James and a few other versions. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And what does verse 24 say? And they that are Christ's have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that's telling me here that these emotions have been dealt with and they don't have to control me. I've been redeemed from these emotions. The God's Word translation says, but the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You could say, and we were sharing, when the Holy Spirit moved in, he brought his presence in. And that's exactly what the Amplified says. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. So when he moved in, his presence came in. What did he bring in? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness. He brought his nature in, and it influences me, or should influence me. Right? And that's what it talks about down here. That those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. And so Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, or unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not, right? You let it not. I like the Good News translation. It says, do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. The Amplified says, do not let your hearts be troubled. neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. And as we talked about in the sower, in Mark 4, the sower sows the seed, but when it falls into what? Thorny ground. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches does what? Chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So when we allow these cares into our lives, it chokes the word. Always remember this. Think about the story when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come." And he said, "Come." When he spoke that word, "come," it released the power and ability for Peter to walk on the water. And all Peter had to do was take a step of faith and receive that word, "come." And when he did, it released the power of God in him to do what? Walk on the water. It didn't change the circumstances. It didn't change the waves. It didn't change the wind, but the power was released in that word to walk on it. But it didn't do him any good until he did what? He had to respond. He had to step out of the boat in the middle of the circumstances. So when Jesus says, "My peace I've given to you," if we respond to it, the word will release peace in the midst of the storms of life. It will release peace in our hearts. But we can't be sitting there waiting for something. The peace is in us. The Holy Ghost is in us. The fruit is in us. He said it's there. But when those trials come, we've got to say, "I'm stepping out. I resist this," and the peace is released. The supernatural peace of God is released in our lives as we act in what? Faith. Faith accesses this grace, right? So the power of God is released in our lives as we do what? Act on it. James tells us that. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus said here, go over to John 16, verse 33. He's still talking about his peace that he's given, but he further expands this thought here, right? In John 16, verse 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," where? In me, "you might have peace." Now, this is Jesus speaking. In the world, you might have. No, he said, "You shall have tribulation." Right? And this word tribulation, if you look it up, this Greek word means pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, difficulties, troubles, and problems. He said, "You're going to have them." But what does it say? "But be of a sad countenance." No, it says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's overcome it. So let me ask the question, is there anything we face? Is there anything that we experience that he hasn't overcome? He's overcome it. He bore the cause. He took it. And so that means that when we face it, we have to do what? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Actually, it does mean to be of good cheer. It also means, this word cheer means to be of good courage, to exercise courage, to be bold, and have confidence. Ah, so that's a little different. It's not just be glory to God, we're walking through this. No, it says be bold, and it says have confidence, be of good confidence, or have confidence, because why? He overcame it. He overcame it. That's why I can be of good cheer. I can have confidence that I'm going through this. I'm going, as Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side of what? This problem. Hallelujah. And this is a question we have to ask. Is there any situation in which we cannot help the way we feel or act? It's a good question to ask. Is there any situation that we face that we cannot help the way we feel or act when facing certain physical problems? Then we have to ask this question. In which of life's situations will God's word work for us, and which ones won't it work? It works in all situations, not some. And some people say, well, you just don't understand. It's not working over here. Maybe you just don't have the light of the word of God yet. But he said, I have overcome the world. I've overcome every situation that you will face. So here's the question you have to ask. These are good questions. Which one of these physical conditions or mental conditions empower us to be unkind, speak harshly, walk out of love, or disregard God's fruits of peace and joy? Which one of those situations empower us to do that? None. Because he's overcome it. Now, we may not yield to it, and we may not have grown in this grace to yield, but that's where the scripture talks about us growing in grace. So Ephesians 4:29, what does it say? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto who? The hearers. Now let's just close with this scripture. 2 Peter 1, familiar with this? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. It says what? Grace and what? Peace be what? Multiplied. I like that. Unto who? You, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power, this power is his dunamis power, that means his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby these great and precious promises are given unto us exceeding, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by what? By these we might be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we've escaped it. We don't want to be participants of it. And so we want to be able to do what? Grow in grace. Keep feeding on the word of God. Make time. You know, when we look at Joshua 1:8, what does it say? Let not this book of the law, we could say the word of God, depart out of your mouth. But what? Meditate on it day and night. that you may what? Observe to do, that you would make your way prosperous or successful. So we can be successful in life, successful overcoming these pressures and emotions that try to grip us in life. And how are we going to do that? Through the Word of God, through spending time with Him. There's no other way. There's no way you can't get around it. Because His Word is what? Forever settled in heaven. You might try to come up with another plan and say, well, no. You're going to have to feed upon the Word of God. You're going to have to spend time, even if it's just 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night, and you just spend time just being quiet and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you live in me. Thank you that you've taken up residence in me. Thank you that your peace is in me. Thank you that your life is in me. Thank you that your very nature is growing in me. And I'm not subject to these pressures in life. You overcame them, so I overcome them. And you begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to meditate on the scriptures. Yes. Mutter it. Say it. Let that build, you know, when it talks about how do we face the obstacles in life. It's what did Jesus say? I'll show you a wise person, a wise builder who did what? Dug down deep and built a foundation on what? A rock. So that when the storms came and beat against that house, it says it could not fall. So when we get all of these pressures beating against us, we can stand right through it. Just like Peter walked on the water. But he had to do what? He had to respond in faith to the Word of God. So I'm excited because even though the Lord Jesus revealed to Brother Hagin that it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, but there's an army that's rising up and being raised up that's taking the Word of God and the power of God into this earth. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Praise God. So let's say this. I have peace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And His peace keeps my heart and mind in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, then that's what He means. When you feel, it doesn't mean you're not going to have these feelings come. See, we just think, you know, people say, well, I just can't take this anymore. You know, people make bad choices, whether they're in life. We've heard them. People go get operations because they just say, I just can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. And they make a choice. May be the right choice, may not be the right choice, but you made it under pressure. And when doctors get in your face and they tell you, if you don't do this, you're going to die. That's pressure. Or could be financial. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do that? How are we going to make it? Pressure. Pressure of life. Real. I went through a period of my life, bill collectors were calling every 15, 20 minutes, cursing me on the phone. They have laws now that they can't do that. But this is many, many years ago. I'm talking about almost 40 years ago. They were literally using every curse word in the book. You know, blah, 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 blah. I was saved, but I wasn't as saved as I am now. Because let me tell you what I did. This one party cursed me up someone down, and in a business place. And I said, I'm coming down there and rearrange your face. I'm serious. And I did. Not rearrange, but I went down to that place. I did. I marched right through the door. I said, I want to know who spoke to me on the phone. I was fired up. I was ticked off. And the emotions got a hold of me because I didn't cause this problem and I had to walk through it, and now they're cursing me on the phone. Oh boy. So this person that was there, he said, he wouldn't obviously let me see the person. But when I walked in, this is just how, you know, you're not thinking clear. But his answer made me think clearer. Huh. He said, we'll see you in court. And right away, you know, the light bulb went on. I'm thinking, they're the ones taking money from me. I ain't got money to pay all these bills. I certainly don't have money to get a lawyer and go to court. So I backed out. And we talk about you can't control your emotions. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. You can control them. Sometimes we just let our emotions get the best of us, is right. And we need to remember, as he is, so are we in this world. And we're his representatives, we're the body of Christ. We've been redeemed from these things. It doesn't have control over you unless you let it. So I'm convinced that as we let this develop in us and grow in us, the peace of God, that how many believe that the supernatural divine peace, I've experienced it a few times, it's just so, I was walking in a cloud for 3 days. I mean, it just was so tangible. How many here believe, you know, when just think about it, we experience just a touch when we worship God together in unity and his presence comes in? Don't we sense peace? Oh, yes. So that'll give us some idea here that when we're walking through trials and tribulations, we need to do what? Raise a hallelujah. We ought to raise a hallelujah and sing for joy, because it will cause his presence to be manifested. And these problems that we face will be put in perspective. He's overcome. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you that you live in us. And we thank you for the peace of God, which garrisons about our heart and our minds and keeps us in a state or a frame of mind and heart that we can hear you clearly. And we'll know the right choices to make. And we'll know the paths of life to take. And you'll walk us through exactly how to deal with these issues in life. You didn't leave us helpless, but you sent us a helper and a comforter. And we thank you that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the one who faced every temptation that Jesus faced, yet without sin, you live in us. So you can walk us through this. It's not hard, it's easy if we listen. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.